Blog Talk Radio.
We thank thee each morning for a newborn day, where we may work the fields of new-mown hay. We thank thee for the sunshine and the air that we breathe, O Lord. We thank thee. Thank thee for the rivers that run all day. Thank thee for the little birds that sing along the way. Thank thee for the trees and the deer. Thank thee, Lord, for every flower that blooms. Birds that sing, fish that swim, and the light of the moon. We thank thee every day as we kneel and pray, that we were born with eyes to see these things. Thank thee for the fields where the clover is grown. Thank thee for the pastures where cattle may roam. Thank thee for thy love so pure and free, O Lord. We thank thee. Oh yes, we thank thee, Lord, for every flower that blooms. Birds that sing, fish that swim, and the light of the moon. We thank thee every day as we kneel and pray, that we were born with eyes to see these things. Yes, we thank thee for the fields where the clover is grown. Thank thee for the pastures where cattle may roam. Thank thee for thy love so pure and so free, O Lord. We thank thee.
Good afternoon. How is everyone today? Hope you're doing well. As for me, just excited in the Lord, excited about what the Lord is doing, excited about what the Lord is going to do. We are planning, we are reaching out to the Lord in prayer, we are calling upon his wonderful name, and we're asking the Lord to just do some amazing things on our behalf. We're in a new series now. And the series is entitled Prayer Meeting Group Request. Prayer Meeting. We just had one yesterday. It was a beautiful prayer meeting. The Lord was moving and stirring up hearts yesterday. You can just hear it in every prayer. You can hear it in the voice of everyone who was called upon to bring a prayer to the Lord. It was a prayer meeting. It was a group of people who came together of one soul and of one heart to set their minds for an hour and a half to seek the Lord for answers, to seek the Lord for salvation, to seek the Lord for miracles. And so our scripture text for this week comes to us out of Zechariah chapter 36, Zechariah 36, and it reads, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them, with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Today we're going to be looking at this phrase, which says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we just come before you with great expectation, knowing that it is you who is calling us to pray. You have placed on us the spirit of prayer and supplication. We are looking to turn to you each and every day. You've put that on us. You've put that desire in our hearts. For this reason, we can't stop but coming to you in prayer. And that's because you're about to do something big. That's because you're about to favor your church. That's because you're about to give us an increase in numbers. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Let us keep the momentum going. Let us not waver. Let us not become double-minded. Let us not become weary in well-doing. Let us not stop praying, but let us, as Paul said, pray without ceasing. Bless us, O God. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for the small tokens, the small manifestations, the small proofs that you are already moving in our midst. Now, Lord, bless this study, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Yesterday, as we began our study, we were looking at the phrase, thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. And we came away understanding that this was not the prophet who was declaring this because, you know, the prophet had become somewhat enthusiastic. You know how people, when they get enthusiastic, they say things that aren't true. I've seen lots of people in church. They get emotional. And they stand up and they say, this is what God's going to do. Well, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And when you say God's going to do it and it doesn't happen, then that was a person speaking out of pure emotion. Here in the text, people of God are given the promise because it is God who speaks. It is God who says, I, the Lord. That word Lord Adonai means the head of the church. He's the head of the church. He says, thus saith the head of the church, and it's God. That word God there is covenant-keeping God. He's the covenant-keeping God. He will never let his church go down. God will never let his church go down in defeat. God will never let his church become embarrassed. Why? Because he's a covenant-keeping God. Now, we can't keep the covenant. We're always messing up. We're always self-destructing. But it's because God is a covenant-keeping God that we are not completely ruined. Because before we completely self-destruct, he comes to our rescue because he has so pledged to do so. He's a covenant-keeping God. He made certain promises to the church. One of them is, listen to this. Jesus said this to his disciples, I will build my church. That's what Jesus said. He's going to build it. Of course, he builds it through church leaders. He builds it through people who he handpicks to build his congregation. But notice what he said afterwards. I will build my church. I will use a team of individuals to edify the congregation. And then he says, and I will ensure that the gates of hell does not prevail against her. That's our covenant-keeping Savior, Jesus, telling us, listen, Satan And the powers of darkness will never defeat the church. I will ensure it. Well, it's the same terminology used here. Thus saith the Lord, the head of the church, the God who is what? Covenant keeping. It is in God's interest to have a church. Well, why is it in God's interest to have a church? Well, because the church is the bride of Christ. Christ needs a bride. And so God will ensure that his son has a bride. That's why there'll always be a church. Because the bridegroom needs a bride. And when Jesus comes back the second time, the church, the bride, will meet her bridegroom, and we shall have the wedding of the Lamb. So thus saith the Lord God. Thus says the God who ensures and promises and pledges and tells us that we can trust in his word as head of the church, that there will always be a church. Now, today we want to look at the phrase, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Turn to your outline. Turn to the bottom of page one. Let's look at the word inquire. I will yet for this be inquired of. Inquire. What does the word inquire mean? Well, it means to seek after God. You know, not too long ago, someone was looking for me, someone that I had pastored back in 1992. Someone I had pastored from 1992 to 1995, around those 3 years. During that interval, well, there was someone looking for me. And they just kept going from one place to another, inquiring as to if anyone knew where I was. And what made this person recently connect with me last week, which I was completely shocked when this person called. I picked up the phone. I said, yes, who is this? I noticed it was a Florida area code, and I said, yes, who's this? And he identified himself. He says, do you remember me? I says, not really, vaguely. I'm sorry to say, I really don't. Then he began to mention this person in the church and this other person in the church, and began to talk about this experience, and I said, oh, now I remember. Now you see, he reminded me of certain things, certain events, certain people, certain locations. And then all these years, we lost touch. I moved on, and he stayed there in South Florida, and I came back to New York, and we have not been in contact since. But it was his inquiring. It was his seeking after me that brought us together. Well, it's the same thing here. God says this, listen, if my people will seek after me, if my people will never stop in their attempt to find me, and to find you for what? Well, in this case, need God's help. They're in trouble. God's church is dwindling in numbers. God's people, God's congregation, is starting to decline numerically. The church is dying off slowly. And so God's people have made up their mind. This is what God says. Listen, I, the head of the church, the covenant-keeping God, I will for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. My people are going to turn to me in prayer. Now, let me give you some scriptures, some parallel scriptures to this Ezekiel 36:37 passage. Take, for example, Matthew 7. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is a, I would say, is a New Testament passage that clearly reveals what Ezekiel 36:37 is trying to purport. It says here, this is Jesus speaking. He says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Ask. What is ask? Pray. Who are you asking? Well, you're asking God. Then he goes on to say, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Notice there's three steps. First of all, you're asking where the person is. You're, like this gentleman who was looking for me. Do you know where he is? He was asking. He kept asking around. Has anybody seen him? Do you know where he's at? Do you know if he's pastoring? Do you know if he's teaching at a college? Where is he? He kept asking and asking and asking. He kept seeking, seeking, seeking. And then what did he do? Well, he asked one person, and one person said to him, "We'll try here." Another, he went to that person. That person, he sought out that person whom he was told to go to, and that person said to him, "Now go seek there. And when you knock on the door, it shall be what? Open." God says that if we seek him out in prayer, if we ask, it shall be given. If we seek him, we shall find him. We shall find him who has all the blessings. The one who made all the promises. We're looking for the one who made all the promises. And if we seek him, we shall find him. And if we knock on his door, it shall be open unto us. It goes on to say in verse 8, for everyone, notice that, everyone, no one is denied. No one is rejected. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh shall find, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. No one is denied when they come to God. So God says here in Ezekiel 36:37, I will yet for this be inquired of. People are going to come after me, says the Lord. People are going to seek me out, says God. They're going to seek me out. For what? Well, and who are these people who are seeking me out? Well, they're called the house of Israel. The house of Israel. Well, before I get ahead of myself, look at the word inquire. This word inquire, and I know I put there a definition for you. It says, the most important theological meaning of the Hebrew verb daras, which is inquire, involves seeking after God or seeking to know God. We're seeking after God so that we may have fellowship with him, but also we're seeking after God that we may discover who he is, that he may disciple us into knowing who he is. And this is how we seek after God, and this is how we seek to know God, by studying the word of God. Those who determine to inquire of the Lord God are greatly rewarded. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Let's go to the book of Psalm, verse number 34. Psalm 34. And we want to look at verse 10 and verse 11. Psalm 34. It says, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So you see, those who pursue God, those who are seeking after God, are rewarded. And then look at verse 10. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So notice, when you seek the Lord, it's about finding him. That's why you're seeking him, to find him and to fellowship with him. And when you find him and you fellowship with him, he blesses you. But also you seek and you seek after God because you want to learn who he is. And that's what David says. He says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Both concepts are in this one text, Psalm 34, verse 10 and 11. But here's another scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. And this is what it says. But without faith, and that means without biblical knowledge, you got to have biblical knowledge, but without biblical knowledge, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, if you are inquiring of the Lord, it means you are seeking him out with great care. You are seeking him out diligently. That's what it means. Just like the gentleman I just explained, this gentleman's been looking for me. I had no clue, no idea that this person was looking for me. And even when we spoke for the first 10, 15 minutes on the phone, I still had no clue who he was. And then I said to him, listen, can you put some pieces together? Can you tell me what locations were these churches? Where were they in South Florida? Can you tell me some of the people that were some of the key people? I didn't know. I thought the person was fishing for information. Well, he gave me names. He gave me locations. He gave me events. He gave me key people. Then he said, well, here, Google my name. And I Googled his name, and I saw the picture of him and his wife, and then it clicked. Then I was able to understand who this person was. But it took much diligent seeking on his part for us to connect. Now, I didn't say that because I'm anything special. I just said that as a way of example. You see, when God says, I will yet for this be inquired of, he is looking for people who are nonstop looking for him in prayer. That's what the text means. They are seeking God without ceasing. They are seeking the Lord nonstop. They are seeking the Lord at every turn. They're seeking the Lord 24/7. They're seeking the Lord without giving him no rest. They're just pounding the pavement, looking for God. I will yet for this be inquired of. Who's inquiring? Who is pursuing the Lord? Who is seeking the Lord? Well, it says by the house of Israel. The term means the whole church. The house of Israel is not just the tribe of Reuben. It's not just the tribe. It's not enough for the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Joseph to seek the Lord. It's not enough for two tribes. Let's add a third tribe. Let's add the tribe of Issachar. Let's add a fourth tribe. Let's add the tribe of Benjamin. It's not enough. It's not enough for four tribes out of 12 to seek the Lord. No, no, no. The text says, you see, God says, there will come a day when my whole church, all of my people, all the tribes, the entire house of Israel will seek me out. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a packed prayer meeting. He's looking for a prayer meeting where every member of Grace Church is in attendance. When that happens, watch out. When that happens, God will start moving on a greater level. When the whole house of Israel, when everyone senses the need to unite in concerted prayer, then God will move into action. This is what the text reveals. This is what the text is highlighting. This is what the text is reinforcing, that God will be inquired of, not just by one man. You know, there's a passage here in Ezekiel. In the same book of Ezekiel, there's a passage where God says, I sought for one man who would stand in the gap. That's the path. I sought for one man who would stand in the gap. Now God requires that all his people, every single one of them, would come and seek the Lord. And you know, we're almost there. We're almost there. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean we're almost there? Well, there's kids in the prayer meeting. Aren't there little children? Aren't there little children praying? Don't we have 90-year-olds praying? We have from the littlest children to the older saints on the prayer line and everything in between. We're almost there. We almost have full participation in the prayer meeting. Let me give you another example of this. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the holy and righteous and good King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah came under attack. A great host, a great multitude came against Jehoshaphat and little Judah. And let's pick it up in verse 3. It says, when Jehoshaphat received the news, he feared, and he set himself to seek or inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And then verse 4 says, and all of Judah came. That means every inhabitant came. And all of Judah came together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Well, verse 13 gets more specific. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 13, it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. The little ones are the infants. The infants came to the prayer meeting. The wives came to the prayer meeting. And the children. The children include the elementary school students and the teenagers. The whole family was on the prayer line. You see, when the whole house of Israel, when the whole house of Judah sets themselves to seek the Lord, then God will move. Because the text says that I may do it for them. You see, there's things that Israel can't do for themselves. This past week when I preached on God has a mailbox at Grace Church, in the sermon outline, if you go over the sermon outline, I said, you do the possible and leave the impossible to God. Well, here, to do it for them falls under the category of what? The impossible. God will always do what we can't do. He expects us to do what we can do, but then he expects us to leave to him what we cannot do. And God, according to Ephesians 3:20, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. So think on this. The Lord God awaits to hear the group prayer of the house of Israel. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling us to group prayer. The Lord is moving away from having one man stand in the gap. Now he's requiring that the whole house, the whole church, seek the Lord and seek the Lord to do for them what we could never do in a million years. And we'll find out what that is tomorrow. Well, we're going to leave it. Text is just amazing. It's just one of those eye-opening Bible verses that if we read it and look at it, we'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, your word is true. There's just some things we can't do for ourselves. You cannot heal yourself. You just can't do it. If you come down with some life-threatening disease, you can't heal yourself. You got to go to the Lord in prayer. If you're broke, if you are down and out, you need to go to the Lord that he may bless you, that he may prosper you. And he does. But you see, these are things, and some will say, well, I'm waiting for a lucky break. Well, we Christians don't believe in luck. We believe in the Lord. And we believe that one blessing from God will set us off on the path to great prosperity. There are things that we could never do for ourselves, for which we must turn to God to in prayer. And when we do, he does exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even imagine. Well, I want to close today's broadcast with the song by Jim Reeves, An Evening Prayer. My brothers and sisters, don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. God bless you.
If I have wounded some poor soul today, if I lest I